I've always loved to hit, from the time I was 4 years old. It's the one thing that can fix any problem. You've lost Wimbledon in a frustrating match, and everything that might have gone right went wrong. Pick up a racket and hit. The strings in the ball, the charge that carries through your body fixes everything. Hitting returns you to the present, where the flowers bloom and the birds sing. You've gotten terrible news from the other side of the world. Your grandmother died and there is nothing but a long flight and a funeral ahead? Pick up a racket, pick up a ball, and hit. The rules changed and you did not know the rules changed, and all of a sudden a pill you have taken for years has undone everything? Pick up a racket and hit. It's from the first chapter of Maria Sharapova's tell-all memoir, Unstoppable, My Life So Far. And Maria Sharapova is, and her memoir certainly is, unstoppable. It starts boldly with her multi-month suspension from professional tennis for a drug infraction at what she thought would be the close of her successful career. She was nearing 30 years of age. And then plunges forward with the story of her life up until now. The highs, the lows, the successes, the rivalries, the hard work that has made Maria Sharapova of Russia unstoppable in tennis. Her approach is delightfully candid, strong-willed, and at the same time, endearing. Laying out her life before us, her parents' early years of marriage, the Chernobyl disaster of all things. Things began with a blast for her early on, it seems, because that Chernobyl disaster forced her mother, while still pregnant with Maria, to move in with relatives in far-off Siberia, close to the Arctic Circle. If you are one of the folks who wonders why I would review a book about a Russian tennis player in this fall of 2017 after the major tennis tournaments have ended for the year to make way for soccer, football, basketball, hockey, let me quote the book's blurb to set the cause. Quote, in 2004, in a stunning upset against the two-time defending champion Serena Williams, 17-year-old Maria Sharapova won Wimbledon, becoming an overnight sensation. Out of virtual anonymity, she launched herself into the international stage. End quote. How true. And ever since those early years of the 2000s, Sharapova has been a presence on the tennis world and in the fashion magazines and in the gossip magazines as well. She's known as being a flashy dresser. She is known to date some of the hottest fellows in tennis, and she's made not a little of that in her book today. Her twin themes of her ever-present rivalries with the women tennis players she encounters every day, no better illustrated than her ongoing rivalry and on-again, off-again friendship with Serena Williams. And her strong-willed, I'm better than you sense of herself run throughout the book and offer a surprisingly good flow-through and make the book more fun to read than one might at first think. Case in point, here she is talking about an early experience that she had before Maria was an internationally known tennis star, but when the Williams sisters, Serena Williams in particular, but when the Williams sisters were just beginning to break through and become the legends that they were soon to become. As we pick up our story, Maria is in Bradenton, Florida, where she practiced so much of her early tennis on those hot, humid tennis courts. It happens that the Williams sisters are just going to show up at that tennis practice and turns the entire world for the other young women at the tennis camp upside down. Here's where Maria picks up the story. Then one day we got the news. The sisters were coming to train. It started as a rumor and spread like wildfire. It was if an astronaut or a movie star were visiting. The morning schedule was canceled. Everyone wanted to watch the Williamses work out, get close, and see how the magic was done. My father, Yuri, told me to watch with clear eyes, see what they do, learn what you can. This is who you will have to beat. No, I said. What do you mean, no? I will not watch them, I said. I'm not going to let them see me at their practice. I don't care if there are 100 people watching and they have no idea who I am. I will never give them that satisfaction. In truth, I did want to watch them practice, but it has little to do with tennis. I'm always fascinated by the great ones. How do they carry themselves? What are they like on the court? But I'd never put myself in the position of worshiping them, looking up, being a fan. My father and I argued and argued about it. He said I was letting pride get in my way. You need to watch them, he explained. And he finally came up with a solution. The sisters were playing on court two, which had a wooden shed set up with a camera to shoot footage of each player. You were supposed to go into the shed after your session and analyze your film. Look at your feet. Look at how you dropped your shoulder. But no one ever did that. The shed was there so the administrators could put it on the brochure. We have a film room and video facilities. In reality, it was dark and dank, filled with old equipment. My dad got the key and snuck me in 10 minutes before the sisters showed up. He rolled the camera away so I could watch through a kind of knothole. Just me, alone, in the dark, seeing the next 20 years of my life. The image of the Williams sisters would eventually become iconic, and it was in the works even then. They're a force. Tall girls in tennis whites with bright smiles and piercing, focused eyes. They began hitting, easy at first, then with terrific pace. Their father, a tennis father, the will behind the operation, really not all that different from my own father, leaned against the fence, calling out instructions and orders. The bleachers were filled. Every kid in the academy was there. They hung on each shot and followed each volley like worshippers, like fans, like sheep. The sisters moved around the court with languid grace, Serena especially. She was younger, but clearly stood out. She swung casually, but the ball smoked off her racket. Now and then, when a rally had gone one shot too long, she'd end it with a cross-court winner. And yet, for all the power, for all the intensity of their practice, I had just one thought. I want to beat them. Though tennis fans often see Maria Sharapova as one of those glamour gals of the tennis courts, in this memoir, Maria comes across as anything but a spoiled tennis star. Instead, Maria Sharapova holds that the young women she practiced against, lived with, and competed against back in the day were more often than not the spoiled rich kids with little talent, making a clear contrast between what most of the young women she trained with at the Florida tennis academies of her youth and her own stoic, hardworking, and candid personality she claims to have for herself. So much of what Maria wants us to see as standout points in her tennis career, she credits to her parents. Her legendary persistence. Her ongoing love for all things Russian. Her hard-hitting tennis strokes, which she credits to her dad's unending practice with her. And she and her family's hard-won struggle to see that Maria learned to play tennis once they moved from Russia to Florida in her early teens. As Maria tells it, her pre-pro years were full of hardship, hard work, and persistence that were rewarded now and then by sheer luck. Is there tennis gossip here? Well, heck yes, from about the first page. The aforementioned long years of rivalry with Serena Williams in particular gives way to less than complimentary compliments about many of the young women she played with before going pro, and not a little bit on the stars of the game today. That said, I should note, too, that Sharapova is quite capable of dishing out praise for tennis stars she feels are her major rivals, too. But in the end, this is a memoir that focuses on Maria Sharapova. It is her life, it is her story that keeps us turning these pages. Fans of tennis, and fans of any sport, I dare say, are often so wrapped up in the game that they inherently think that the tennis and other sports stars they idolize love the sport as much as they, the fans, do. One of our greatest modern-day tennis players, Andre Agassi, surprised many in the media, and not a few fans, not that many years ago, when he made his now infamous statement that he loves tennis, and he hates tennis. And so it's not without a little surprise that I read Maria Sharapova answer that very same question rather early on in Unstoppable with these words. I was on the court, training, training, training. There were workouts, drills, games, and matches, pounding shot after shot into every corner of the court. At such times, it was actually impossible to think of tennis as a game, as a pastime, as something somewhere in the world someone was doing for fun. Tennis is not a game. It's a sport and a puzzle, an endurance test. You do whatever you can to win. It has been my enemy and my friend, my nightmare and the solace to that nightmare, my wound and the salve for my wound. Ask anyone who has made a life in this game, who has been out on the clay before they were old enough to understand the consequences of a strange early talent. I know you want us to love this game. Us loving it makes it much more fun to watch. But we don't love it. And we don't hate it. It just is. And always has been. Vogue magazine put it very well when their reviewer wrote about the book. Maria Sharapova's Unstoppable may be just the best part of her comeback tour. This is the Bildungsroman of a controversial champion, a portrait of the athlete as an uncommonly driven young woman. It's also a Horatio Alger-worthy tale of rags to riches with a slightly nihilistic Russian twist. Sharapova's a careful observer, and Unstoppable is full of astute psychological insights. That from Julia Fesenthal in Vogue. I have to agree, that's a good description of what this book is all about. Let's finish with Maria Sharapova's own words about her impact on the world of tennis as she sees it. It's an upbeat way to end the book, and it's an upbeat way to end this review of a book that I really enjoyed reading. Hope you get a chance to read it too. As she writes, and I should note, this is after she had served her time away from tennis because of the drug infraction that she had been accused of. And here's how she writes about that first time back at professional tennis. I flew to New York. I was in the city where the findings became public. I had not done an interview in 9 months. No comments. No popping off in the media. That press conference had been my last word on all this. I wanted to wait until the last legal word was typed. Now it had been. I went on the Today Show and Charlie Rose. I did a big interview with the New York Times. I guess I wanted the ITF to acknowledge their mistake. Instead, I got hedging and hems and haws, but that's okay. It's something experience has taught me. There is no perfect justice, not in this world. You can't control what people say about you and what they think about you. You can't plan for bad luck. You can only work your hardest and do your best and tell the truth. In the end, it's the effort that matters. The rest is beyond your control. Here's another good thing that came from all of this. I heard from so many fans, so many young girls who had been inspired by my example in my life. I had never thought of my influence on other people before. All the work I was doing might pave the way for the next generations, as others had paved the way for me. But I saw it now, and it inspired me. It made me happy, and it awed me, and of course, it made me really want to get back out there and play my game. It's interesting. Before all this happened, I was thinking only about the finish line, how it would end, how I would make my exit. But I don't think about that anymore. Now I think only about playing. As long as I can, as hard as I can, until they take down the nets, until they burn my rackets, until they stop me, and I want to see them try. Unstoppable, My Life So Far by Maria Sharapova with Rich Cohen. It's quite the read. It's indeed a read that I hope you'll pick up yourself. It's available at all of our fine public libraries, including the West Lafayette Public Library.